Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
Recently, I had a leg injury, and I was in physical therapy, and I, once in a while, would take an anti-inflammatory, but I tried not to. But I didn't realize that there's actually foods that can help with pain relief. And here to talk more about this is a wonderful Heather Tick, MD. Hello, Dr. Tick.
Hello there, Lisa and Andrea.
It's so great to have you on. I'd love to hear a little bit about your background and then how you came to this way of thinking and holistic pain relief in general.
Sure. Well, I went to a conventional medical school, the University of Toronto, and I learned what all other conventionally trained doctors learn, and I realized quite early on after, even during my medical education, that there were lots of things that they didn't teach us. Things like nutrition, exercise, sleep, how to help my patients deal with stress, and even how to deal with my own stress. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was pretty lucky because my family background was European. So my parents were immigrants to Canada, and my mother cooked all our meals. She didn't understand packaged food, and she thought it wasn't food, and frankly, she was right. So we ate a really clean, healthy diet from the very beginning, and she even sense of avoiding chemicals in our foods, and she distrusted mixes and packaged foods for that reason. So I was indoctrinated in that pretty early, and I have to say that attitude has stood me in good stead all along.
Well, for sure. I mean, when it comes to inflammation, I mean, food is I mean, there are supplements, but I love the fact that you mentioned that there's a whole plethora of food out there that can help to curb the inflammation. Can you give us some examples, some of the food that you love, that you think, let's say your top 3 to 5?
Okay, absolutely. It's absolutely true that every single time we eat, we change our body chemistry. And we either make it more inflamed or we make it less inflamed. And our choices make a big, big difference. Just to give you an example of why this information isn't so readily available out there in the traditional medical environments. So I had a pretty typical education, and we had 4 hours during 4 years of nutrition classes scheduled, and two of those got canceled. And to put that in perspective, I spent about 14 hours learning about something called Hirschsprung's disease. And it's not that Hirschsprung's isn't important. It's that information on nutrition would benefit every single patient I would see for my entire career.
Absolutely.
But in my 30 years of practice, I've never seen a case of Hirschsprung's. So wow. I do like to start with food. And that's more important than supplements. I do suggest supplements for certain things, but food really comes first, and that's what we have to pay most attention to. So, for example, if you were going to eat a fast food hamburger and fries, you would be increasing your inflammation for the next 8 to 12 hours.
Wow.
And that not only increases your risk of heart attack for the next 8 to 12 hours, but it also increases overall inflammation. And what do you think that does to pain? It makes it worse.
It makes it worse.
So where do you start to get into an anti-inflammatory diet? The first thing I like to emphasize to people is that vegetables contain a lot of nutrients with not a lot of calories. And they really are the most important place for us to start. And in many people's diets, they're underrepresented. I mean, the vegetables for me are the favorite part of my meal, and I could eat plates of vegetables all the time. I eat them for all three of my meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then I snack on them too. But there are so many people who haven't learned to eat vegetables. But what they do is they have minerals, vitamins, enzymes, really healthy fats, a little bit of protein too, and most importantly, they have a lot of antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, antioxidants are things that quench the fire of inflammation. And so they're really important when we're in pain because that will decrease the damage that gets done to our body, and it will improve healing if you have enough antioxidants around. Another good thing about vegetables is that they make our body less acidic, and that's a good thing because acid causes more wear and tear. So I recommend all kinds of vegetables. Now, potatoes and corn shouldn't be considered with vegetables. I'm not saying you can't ever eat them, but they are more starches than vegetables, so they don't have all of the good impact that the leafy greens do. And
sure.
We should also be eating the eating lots of very colorful vegetables. So we want things in red and green and purple and white and yellow and orange, because all of those colors are actually antioxidant molecules. A lot of them are flavonoids, and they also help decrease pain. Now, some people like to eat a lot of fruit, and I'm not totally anti-fruit. It's okay to eat some each day, but fruit shouldn't be the majority of our intake in terms of fruits and vegetables. And so when
I
say
they're high in sugar, right?
It's exactly right. They're high in sugar. Now, if we eat seasonal fruits, that's better, because if we'll eat them in season, then we're eating less of them. They also haven't been shipped for as far, and environmentally, sure, they're better. And there's even some interesting information about how our body gets messages from the seasonal fruit that tells us what season it is and how our metabolism
wow.
should change
That's
for that season. Isn't that interesting?
I didn't know that.
There was
Did
a recent study on that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I don't know that we've explored it fully, but it was a very interesting study that was done. I don't like to encourage fruit juices, especially packaged fruit juices, because even if they say they're fresh, they're not, unless you actually watched someone make the juice. But again, there's too much sugar in there. But berries, now those are good fruits. So berries, blueberries, raspberries, they have a lot of antioxidants, and I'm even in favor of eating those all year long in frozen form if you once they're out of season.
I have a question in terms of, you know, you're talking about changing your body chemistry. How long would it take if you start incorporating, I guess, how much alkaline food or non-acidic food should you be taking in a day? Is it the 80-20 rule? But also, how long will it take for your body to actually see a difference?
I think it really depends on what your starting point is. So if you're starting a mile behind the start line, it's going to take you longer to finish the race than if you're starting at the start line. So a lot of people have really crummy diets. Their bodies are very, very acidic to start with and nutrient depleted, which means they haven't been getting nutrition for a long time, good nutrition. And so they've been getting lots of calories, but not a lot of real food. So it's really hard to say, but I know in my practice, people find there's a difference within 2 weeks. So in general, people often come back at the 2 week mark when I've done nothing else other than change their diet, and they will tell me that they actually have started to feel better. Now, one thing I want to make sure we get to is turmeric and ginger and that whole family of foods, because they're super,
we love that.
Yeah, they're super powerful in terms of anti-inflammatories and pain relievers, with none of the evil side effects of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Even the FDA has just come out this week with a warning about non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. So we should be taking them very sparingly and be careful of them, whereas the turmeric is an anti-inflammatory and works great.
Yeah, I know we're on the same page. We love turmeric and curcumin, obviously the active ingredient in turmeric and ginger. So I love that you brought that up. And I think, to be honest, that's a whole show in and of itself. So I think that's something we could talk about in the future. Are you based in Toronto?
No, I came from Toronto, but I'm at the University of Washington right now in Seattle.
Okay, perfect. Well, you can learn more about Dr. Tick. Actually, you could follow her on Twitter at Heather Tick MD. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Decrease your inflammation to stay healthy and stay well.